Just because he lives. Amen.
Amen.
You know, good morning and welcome to Dispensational Bible Church, where we study the whole Bible, 2 Timothy 2:15, the Bible's on way, 2 Timothy 3:16, 17. And we're excited that we can continue to give you a message of grace, a message of rightly dividing the word of truth. And we'd like to encourage you to study the Bible that way. We are broadcasting on Boxcast, which if you have an app, you can download the Boxcast. Hopefully, it is coming out to you on the Dispensational Bible Church Live now. On our website, www.dispensationalbiblechurch.org. I was just trying to look at it a little bit. It is broadcasting on the website, so I know a lot of people thinking about getting off Facebook and all due to political things. That's your choice, but needless to say, the Word of God will be proclaimed on our webpage. YouTube, if you have a YouTube app or watching YouTube, you can look up Dispensational Bible Church and find it there also. You just subscribe to that, and you probably watch it on TV. Apple TV and all, but the main thing is that Boxcast app, if you have Apple TV, Roku, Fox, Fire TV, Fire Stick, that type of thing. So anyway, we are excited about this. We was doing a trial on this, and I went ahead and I think we're just going to go ahead and we subscribe. Thank you. Subscribe towards this. And so, you know, we can go anywhere, anywhere, anytime, and have this channel there. And it's not about me. It's about the Word of God rightly divided. And that's the main thing. At least the last thing you want to do is see me, you know, on TV and stuff. But it, once again, it's not about me. It's about the Word of God being proclaimed out of the book, okay? So with that being said, our prayer requests, praise items, I thank you for the ones that you, the praise reports that we're getting with the broadcast, with being faithful. I do want to lift up some saints that at our old assembly in Canton area. I know it's a struggle trying to get out to places and driving places, but listen, you got to do what you can do, and I'm lifting you up in prayer, and my heart bleeds for you. It really does. So I just want you to be faithful to the Word of God where you're at and study and join us when you can. Mm-hmm. So many people talk about donating. I think on our website there was an issue about signing in on donations. I think we got that fixed. If you want to contribute that, there's a couple things we do in our ministry. Grace School of the Bible, I graduated there in 2004, and that's one of the things we help, we send money to in that ministry. So that's some of the things we pay for. Now we'll be paying for Boxcast and stuff. So there's some little things that we have a need for. We are thankful that we're meeting right here at where we live, and you're welcome to come. And we're thankful that right now it's not costing us anything. I don't know if I should say that out in public or not, but I'm just saying that because the last place that we had, we was meeting in a dispatch station in Perry Township between Maslin and Canton, and it's a government place, and it was free because we was living in the township, and we had another couple living in the township, but they closed that down for the rest of the year. And Lord only knows if it's going to open again. You know, they don't really use it anymore. So that circumstance right there affected us where we're meeting. And you know, we just don't have the people or the income to just meet anywhere we want to. And you know, well, the talk's cheap, but it takes money to ride the train type of thing. So we're meeting right here. We're establishing something in the southeastern part of Ohio, and I want you to be a part of this. whether you're listening, whether you're driving or whatever, this is part of your ministry. And so we've touched people all over the world, guys. You know, it's just not our local church. Sometimes we have a voice all over the world. And with that being said, what a beautiful day it is outside. The sun's shining. Mm-hmm. You know, it is great to be alive in the dispensation of grace. And we need to think about that. Whether your mind's tore up about political things right now, you know, the night of the elections, I laid my head down. I talked to God the Father. I said, hey, I just want to wake up with peace of mind. And I did. So whatever the outcome is, you still got to be who you are in Christ Jesus. Amen. You know, and we teach the Word of God, right, to divide it according to what God through Paul has given us, and we don't make decisions based on emotions. I watched a lot of people go up and down. You might have even seen me go up and down. But the main thing is to be who you are in Christ Jesus, because, you know what, there's still lost people out there. There is still lost and dying and going to hell. So we still have a word to proclaim. And like Brother Richard mentioned before, he goes, you know, these are the same times that Apostle Paul was in. Apostle Paul wasn't in a merry-go-round, wonderful world. He was in a dark world, too, proclaiming the gospel. And he was beaten, and many Christians was thrown to lions and burned on stakes and lit like candlesticks, you know, just because of their faith. So we should not fear for this thing, whether it's COVID, whether it's political, whatever. You got to be who you are in Christ Jesus, and that should come out of you and be what people see. So let's see if anything else. Let's go to word prayer. Father, once again, thank you for a day. Thank you for the things you've given us. And as we think about the messages, we think about the prayer requests, we think about the praise items that's on our hearts and mind. You tell us to lift them up to you, and in doing so, it gives us peace. And Lord, as we think about going through the Bible, and what a wonderful time it is to go through the Bible, to learn some things that we can be able to help other people become more able to study the Bible and show themselves approved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Once again, I hope we're doing okay. We're in lesson 4 and through the Bible. And we're using this textbook here, Through the Bible in 7 Hours. And you know already we've gone through 4 hours, and we're really not in the book at all yet. So it's going to take a little time, and I'm wanting to take this time as we go through the book, through the Bible, to help you build on some things that we're going to be going through, fundamentals of dispensationalism. So with that being said, the study of the Bible can only result in hopeless confusion if you fail to recognize the necessity of rightly dividing the word of truth. And what does 2 Timothy 2:15 says? I mentioned it on our onslaught of our Bible motto. We study the whole Bible. The Bible's on way. And the Bible's on way. Bible has a way to study the Bible. And 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And since God, through his special apostle Paul, tells us to rightly divide the word of truth, his word, it's from truth from truth, cover to cover. We went through that a couple lessons ago. You would only think it would be appropriate to go to Paul's epistles to tell us how this is to be done. You know, that's just simple that. If God, through Paul, tells us to study the word of God rightly divided, you don't go to Moses' writings. You don't go to Peter's writings to find out how. So when you look at Paul's own divinely inspired understanding of just how God's dealing has been laid out, there's a threefold division. Okay, you know what? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. We're going to get in this a little bit. Ephesians chapter 2 talks about a time's past. Ephesians chapter 2. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to probably go over this 2 or 3 times, maybe today. Well, go to Ephesians chapter 2 and put a bookmark in there. And then it talks about but now. Then it talks about ages to come. So there's a threefold division in God's Word. We as dispensationalists acknowledge this and understand what God is doing. And like we talked about before in a couple lessons, we don't chop the Bible up, okay? We don't properly handle the Word. We rightly divide the Word of truth. We cut straight. And if anything over 25 years of this message is getting me, I'm not sugarcoating this message. Now, I may sugarcoat other things, but I'm not going to sugarcoat the Word of God. And that's what's wrong with a lot of people out there. They get sugarcoated, put sugar on the cornflakes, and next thing you know, they won't eat cornflakes plain. They think it's boring. You know, you get music ministries and stuff like that, and next thing you know, it's a, what, entertainment system. And when it comes to the Word of God, it's just like, he preaches too long. You know, that type of thing. So think about that when you think about the traditional churches. You know, three songs of prayer, preacher preaches 20 minutes and they're gone. If you notice how we start our assembly, sometimes we sing a song, prayer request, and get right in the Word. I think it's more important to get the Word from the pages into your heart and into your doctrine to understand some things so you'll be able to grasp. Now, music's wonderful, isn't it? Programs are wonderful, but you got to base it on the Word of God, rightly divided. Now, the strategic grasp of times past, we talked about times past, but now and ages to come. The most important division in the Bible is between the prophetic program and the mystery program proclaimed by the Apostle Paul. What do you mean by this? Go to Luke chapter 1. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Verse 70. Luke chapter 1, verse 70. Look at verse 68. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which had been since the world began. So what God done was spoken since the world began about what he was going to redeem his people. Okay, that's over here. Now go to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, verse 21. Whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Verse 24. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. So something spoken since the world began, that's what we call what? Prophecy. Okay? If spoken since the world began. Now, contrast that with what Paul was doing in the mystery program, not the prophetic program, but the mystery program. Look at Romans 16. Romans 16. Romans 16, verse 25. Now to him that is power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Something was hid in God, okay? Not in his word, in God. Look at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 25. Wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, but is now made manifest to the saints. So you have something spoken since the world began. That's prophecy. Now you have something spoken before the world began. That's mystery. And a lot of people say, man, I've never seen that before. What Bible versions you use? I'm using the Authorized Version for the English-speaking people, commonly known as the King James Bible. Okay? It's the inherent word of God. And a lot of people says, you guys, that's all y'all do is talk about rightly dividing word of truth. You talk, listen, that's how you understand the word of God. That's the key to understanding the word of God. Mm-hmm. You can't hear this enough. I can't preach this enough or teach this enough without you understanding that. Okay? So consider these things that we're talking about today. And you might be able to see some things. Listen, we don't ignore the word of God. Ignore. Okay. We don't want to be ignorant. We don't want to be blinders. What's the root word of ignorant is ignore. Don't ignore this stuff. 90% of the churches out there will ignore what we're talking about today. And then they will mark you and tell you, stay away from anything. Listen, my wife and I have been through that. My children's been through this. For 25 years, we've been toe-to-toe with people that says they're Bible-believing Christians, and when you talk about rightly the word of truth, you might as well, you know, be an enemy. You know, you lost friends and family. Forget that. Who's got a friends and family plan like Verizon or something, you know, invite your friends and family in there? No, you do that. Well, if you do that, make sure you do this. Teach the word of God, rightly divide it, and stay good. Listen. Manifestly, there's a great difference between which was spoken by the mouth of all God's holy prophets since the world began and something that was kept secret since the world began. It's very important to notice that the common assumption that the Old Testament began in Genesis chapter 1 is not accurately correct. You know that? I know what you're saying. Well, my Bible opened up, it says Old Testament. You go to Matthew, it says New Testament. Who put that in there?
Man
put that in there, just like red letters in your Bible. Now, a lot of people talk about red letter Bibles. I don't want to get off on this a little bit. But, you know, a lot of people will put more emphasis on red letters in their Bible in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John than the whole Word of God. Because why? Jesus said that. Now, who is Jesus?
God.
Did God not speak? God the Holy Spirit not speak? That's either the whole thing should be black and white or whole thing should be red. Okay? It should be R-E-A-D. Red. Okay?
Yeah.
You know, that type of thing. But look, rather than the covenant of the law was given to the nation Israel through Moses that went in effect in Exodus chapter 24. That's when it was ratified. Go to John chapter 1 right quick. John chapter 1 and get Galatians chapter 3. John chapter 1, Galatians chapter 3. John chapter 1, Galatians chapter 3. John chapter 1. Now, you know it's going to take us more than 7 hours to go through this, so just bear with me. We've got between now and the catching away. Amen?
Amen?
Okay, look, John chapter 1, verse 17 says, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." Now, who were the law given to? By Moses. Okay? And you know when the Lord Jesus Christ was on this earth and they tried to trick him on several things, you know what he said?
What did Moses say?
What did Moses tell you to do? So Moses was a big to-do in the prophetic program when he started this. He is the lawgiver. What is Galatians chapter 3? Galatians chapter 3, verse 19. Wherefore that's... then serveth the law? It was added because of the transgression till the seed shall come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. So that's that law, and it's in effect all the way through here. And this means that the book of Genesis and the first 20 plus chapters of Exodus are not in the Old Testament. Okay? We need to be careful about common assumptions. You know what that is? Assumptions.
Just believing it because everybody else.
There you go. I looked this up, and it says an assumption is something that you assume to be the case, even without proof. For example, people might make an assumption that you are a nerd if you wear glasses. Okay? Even though that's not true or very nice, is it? So you assume that it's an Old Testament saying. And it's also striking that the very opening words of your Bible, in the beginning, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the universe.
No.
Right? It don't say that. It don't say heavens. If you got a wrong version, it says heaven. He don't create the heavens till later on chapter 2. Okay? It created the heaven and earth. And it's because he had a purpose in the earth quite distinct from the purpose in heaven. And his purpose concerning the earth and the Christ reigned upon the earth is the subject of what we're talking about. Prophecy. Look at 2 Peter. Get 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, starting with verse 16. 2 Peter. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we were made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were witnesses of his majesty, and he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the second ecstasy glory, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven were heard, and when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of what?
Prophecy,
whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto the light that shineth in the dark place, unto the day dawn and the day star rise in your heart. So the subject here, the sure thing of prophecy, is what Jesus Christ was doing on the rule and reign on the earth. Now, his purpose concerning the heavens, this is the subject of Jesus Christ in the mystery program. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he had loved us, even when we were dead in sins, he had quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and have raised us up together and made us sit together in what? Heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might shew forth exceeding riches of his grace, in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace ye are saved through faith, and not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath ordained that we should walk in him. This is what in them. So this is what we need to do. We have been ordained, guys. You know, we have been ordained to do and walk in them what he described about grace. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to read 11 verses here. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. He became a prisoner of Jesus Christ for us Gentiles. If you have heard the dispensation of grace of God, which is given me to youward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge of the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto the holy apostles and the prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel. You wouldn't find that back over here in times past. Let me keep reading. Wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God unto me by the effectual working of his power, unto me whom less than the least of all the saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent. Why did he do this? To intent that now, unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. So the mystery program is exalting Jesus Christ is the subject here. But look, did you notice what he said back there in verse 7 and 8? That this grace is given. You know what I always talked about a few minutes ago? Moses, the law came of Moses. Moses considered the lawgiver. What did this just tell you about Paul? He's the grace giver. God through Jesus Christ, God Almighty, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, through Paul is the grace giver. He is dispensing grace through Paul, not law through Paul. Okay? That was Moses' job. If you think about what churches are doing today, they'll get you saved, supposedly, by trusting Christ died from burying rose again. And water baptism and all that, they add to it. 90% of people do. But they also want you to live under law. That's what Moses did. And all that. So with what we just said, let's look at the middle wall partition. There's a wall between the law and everybody else. The basic, got to remember this, you might be tested on this one day. The basic characteristic of times past is the great distinction between the circumcision. I'm going to close this up for a second, too, because we're talking about the prophecy program, okay? If you stay close. I don't want to mess with this too much. It might fall, are you? Between Israel and the Gentiles. So this upper line, ever since Abraham, we're going to probably talk to him sometime. This line up here is circumcision, okay? This line down here is uncircumcision. And there was a distinction between that. Ephesians chapter 2, you're already there, right? Mm-hmm. I thought you were. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Wherefore, remember that ye, in times past, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision of flesh made by hands. And at that time, ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the what? World. God made a distinction between circumcision and uncircumcision. And what did God through Paul just tell us what us Gentiles was? Listen, if I lived 2,000 years ago, I'm down here on this bottom. I'm without God. And nobody in my early Christian life ever told me about this. This is scary, guys. Think about it. without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope with God in the world. You know there's a group, thousands and millions and millions and millions and millions and millions, if not billions of people out there are without hope today. And they want to put their hope in some kind of political system or some man. And then they want to turn to you and say, look at you and you're God. You know, they may be a time that this is the only time we can meet together underground. You know, that should scare you, but should it scare you? It will in the flesh. You're going to be terrified, but let's move on. This is terrified enough, isn't it? Think about in times past, this is who you were. It scares me. Israel had a clear advantage while the Gentiles were an equal, distinct disadvantage. Circumcision, uncircumcision, Jew, dogs, a bunch of name calling going on there. Unlike today, you don't call people names today. I know you better than that. They did call names. Name calling is going to be that way until Lord Jesus Christ over here. But look. Look at, go to Romans chapter 9. There's advantages and disadvantages. Alongside this right here, what we just read, there's a very disadvantage of being alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. And Romans chapter 9, verse 4. Who are Israelites? Well, who are they?
God's chosen people.
Okay. To whom pertain the adoption, the glory, the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises? Who are the fathers of whom concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all God blessed forever? Now, would you say this advantage or disadvantage? Advantage. The Jews, the Israelites had the advantage. They had the adoption to whom Christ came. Who's the fathers? Christ came. Covenants of law and all that good stuff. The services of God, the promises. There's seven things there that they had. But what about... Now, that's alongside with... if you got your Bible and you take notes in your column of your Bible, you should put different from Romans 9... 4 and Romans 3, 1 and 2, when they had, Romans 3 talks about they had the oracles of God. They had the Word of God. Okay? Us Gentiles didn't have the Word of God back there. We had a God Word back there, but not God of the Bible. You got to remember, we're the people of the Bible. We're people, you understand what I'm saying? If you're saved today, you are the people of a book. That was a disadvantage. But what about the what we just read? The Gentile disadvantage was Gentiles. They was uncircumcised. They was without Christ. Aliens from Israel. Strangers from covenants. Without God, having no hope. There's seven things right there. Mm-hmm. That middle wall partition, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14... Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. And by the way, verses 11 and 12 in Ephesians, there's a separation there. Okay? Verse 14. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall partition between us. That middle wall partition is a legal wall, guys. A legal wall that separated Jew from Gentiles. And God himself erected between the nation Israel and Gentiles, which contained the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. So that circumcision, okay, was made by hands, and it was fortified by a wall. Okay, a wall. Romans 1 demonstrates the Gentiles alienated that was their own doing. If you remember about it, God gave him over. Okay? God gave you and I exactly what we wanted in times past. You didn't want Christ. We didn't want this. We didn't want that. And God would do nothing but wanted creation, wanted his people, or the race, Adam, Noah, and so forth. He wanted to do everything for them. But they said, no. And they started building towers. And they started worshiping their own gods. That's because we followed Satan. And Paul presents a sad history of rebellion, evil thinking, self-will that resulted in that threefold decoration. What I just shared. God gave them up, verse 24 in Romans chapter 1. For this cause God gave them up, verse 26. God gave them over. Okay? He gave the Gentiles over back here. Okay? See Acts chapter 14. Go to Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14. We'll get Acts chapter 17 too. But Acts chapter 14. Verse 16 says, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. See, all nations was walking that way. Chapter 17, verse 30. And the times of these ignorance God winked at, but now commanded all men everywhere to repent. He winked at that situation over there. And historically, this took place in Genesis chapter 11. In times past, the Gentiles was generally washed up, as it were, without Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, hopelessly, the utterly lost in the world without God. That's, man, I'm telling you what, you're on your way to hell back here. You're on your hell way up over here. You're on your way to hell today if you don't understand what God done for you and I without a wall. And we'll get into this a little bit. But God, okay, while the nations of the earth were allowed to walk in their own ways, God turned to one figure in the Bible. Get Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17. I hope you're enjoying this, but I sure am. I love teaching this because this is what helped me understand a lot of things about the Bible. You know, you need to understand the key to understanding the Bible here. But anyway, where did I say to go? Genesis chapter 12, sorry. Genesis 17, but Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 through 3. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto the land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curse thee, and in thy all the families of the earth be what? Bless. Now there's a covenant there, so what Abraham obeyed God when he was 99 years old. That tells me you're never too old to believe God and obey God. And God, you know, people said, you can't teach old dogs new tricks. Yes, you can. You know, you can lead the horse to the water, but you can't make him drink. Yes, you can. You salt those oats, you season this with salt. And they get thirsty. People get thirsty and want more of the Word of God. Okay? And that's what you want to do. You want to be speak the Word. And what God has changed in the name Abraham, he erected his middle wall partition. Go to chapter 17. Chapter 17. Verse 4. As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee. And thou shalt be the father of many nations. Neither shall thy name be any more be called Abram, but thou shalt be Abraham, for the father of many nations he had made thee. And I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, thee and their generations for everlasting covenant, to be God, to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession. I will be their God. And God said to Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore thou and thy seed after thee in thy generation. This is my covenant, which ye shall keep. This is for Israel now. It ain't got nothing to do with the body of Christ, the mystery program. Between me and you and thy seed after thee, every man child among you shall be circumcised. And ye shall circumcise the flesh of the foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 years old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generation, he that is born in the house and bought with money of a stranger, which is not of thy seed. Verse 13. He that is born in thy house, and he that is bought with the money, must needs be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in the flesh for an everlasting covenant. So now there were to be two people in the world, circumcision and uncircumcision. Numbers chapter 23. Get Numbers chapter 23 and 1 Kings chapter 8. 1 Kings chapter 8. Numbers chapter 23, verse 9. For from the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. Lo, the people shall dwell alone, and shall be not reckoned among the nations. Who's he talking to here? He's talking to the nation Israel. They are circumcised. They're set apart, okay? That's the part of sanctification in my book. They're supposed to set themselves apart, and what they're not supposed to do, be reckoned among the nations. They're not supposed to be out there with among the nations out there. You know, there's no such thing as United Nations. Israel's supposed to be separated, and they was from that point on all the way through King David and all this stuff. People knew who Israel was. They was the God's people. 1 Kings chapter 8. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 53. For thou didst separate from them from among all the people of the earth to be thy inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses, thy servant, when thou was brought us our fathers out of Egypt, O Lord God. So the covenant God made with Abraham is called the covenant of the circumcision. That's what Acts chapter 7 talked about. Acts chapter 7, verse 8. Acts chapter 7. And Stephen. Okay, here we go. And God gave him the covenant of circumcision, and so Abraham begot Isaac and circumcised him the eighth day, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begot the 12 partridge. So here's a covenant of the circumcision. It started working through here, Abraham, and all the way up through here. Okay? When God gave the law to the nation Israel, It was added. Didn't we read that in Galatians chapter 3, verse 19? Yes. To the covenant of circumcision. And it strengthened it and fortified the middle wall partitions. Now, Ephesians chapter 2. We read this a little while ago. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments, contained in ordinance, to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. So that law was a wall, and it was added to that circumcision. Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, verse 14. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are the law unto themselves. So the law was added, okay? Go to Psalms chapter 147. Chapter 147. Chapter 127. 47
or
47, sorry. Psalms 147. Psalms 147, verses 19. Verse 19. He showed his word unto Jacob, his statutes and his judgments unto Israel. He hath not dealt so with any nation, as for his judgments, they have not known them, praise the Lord. So what's going on there?
His judgments are only being shown to the nation Israel.
There you go. So who it is? The law is the judgment stuff. It's the nation Israel. Now, go to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Verse 5. Chapter 4, verse 5. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither you go possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that he hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? So who's got the law?
Israel.
Who? Why did they give it to them? So they set themselves apart. Mm-hmm. What is Leviticus chapter 20? Go back a couple books. Leviticus chapter 20. Leviticus chapter 20. 20. Verse 20. And if a man shall lie with his uncle's... Wait a minute, that's not right. Hold on. Yeah, we'll do it anyway.
What verse are you in?
Chapter 20, Leviticus chapter 20, verse 20. And if a man shall lie with his uncle's wife, he hath uncovered his uncle's nakedness. That sounds like verse 22. They shall bear their sins, and they shall die childless. And if a man shall take his brother's wife, and it is an unclean thing, he hath uncovered his brother's nakedness, they shall be childless. Ye shall therefore keep all my statutes and all my judgments, and do them, that the land, whether I bring you to dwell therein, spew you not out. And ye shall not walk in the manner of the nation, which I have cast out before you, for they commit all these things, and therefore I abhor them. But I have said unto you, ye shall inherit their land, and I will give it unto you to possess it, a land that floweth with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, which has separated you from what? Other people. Now, God had an agency in the earth, which through he would accomplish his purpose and plan of making Jesus Christ ruler and created the earth as he created that. Now, I've been going for a little bit, okay? And we still got a long way, but let's see. Let's look at Exodus 19 right quick. Get Exodus 19. Exodus 19. Exodus 19. Verse 3. Exodus 19, verse 3. I'm trying to multitask a little bit, so just bear with me, because I can do that sometimes, probably all too well. Just joking. Exodus 19, verse 3. And Moses went unto God, and the Lord God unto him out of the mountain, saying, called him, thus shalt thou say unto the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and have brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my commandments, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of who?
Israel.
Now, what are they supposed to be?
A kingdom of royal priests.
Okay, see that? You read that. They're going to be a kingdom of priests. So therefore, they also have to be water baptized. They have to be ashes cleansed and stuff. That's what baptism is for over here. Place you into that. Exodus 15. Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15, verse 17. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thy inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made thee to dwell in a sanctuary, O Lord, which the hands have thou established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever, for the house of Pharaoh.
Horse.
What was that? For the horse of Pharaoh went in with his chariots and with his horsemen into the sea, and the Lord brought again the waters of the sea upon them, but the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. So Israel's being saved here for a purpose, okay? But who got wet there, by the way?
Pharaoh and his horsemen.
Okay. What did Israel do? The very first account of baptism, and Paul talks about that in Corinthians, how our fathers walked, was baptized into Moses as he went into this. They didn't get wet. That water took Pharaoh out. The Egyptians had a dry baptism. Genesis chapter 28. Go back to Genesis chapter 28. Genesis chapter 28. Genesis chapter 28. Genesis chapter 28, verse 17. And he was afraid and said, "How dreadful is this place! There is none other but the house of, but this is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of what?
Heaven."
So, if I got that right, verse 17. Yeah. So, the nation Israel was created to be God's earthly kingdom people. And God's earthly purpose is to make Jesus Christ the head over things in the earth through the instrumental of a kingdom vested in the nation Israel. So this would be through this favored nation that God would bless all the nations of the earth. And the nation Israel has to be his channel of blessings for the other nations. So I'm going to cut off right there this lesson, because there's still a lot more we have to go through before we get what God is doing. But in prophecy, from right here, God separated, and we done read about God separated Abraham. And through his seed, right up through here, nation Israel, they're supposed to be a kingdom of priests. And God is up here, God the Father up here goes through Israel to get the blessings out to the nations. And they're supposed to be separated from any other nation. That's unlike today, okay? They're part of United Nations. So, what the Gentiles down here, we'll read about this in coming lessons, the Gentiles could get to God the Father through it, but they had to go through Israel. Mm-hmm. So next week we'll pick up this more in lesson 5. So keep that in mind, that we're just going to take our time and go through these verses and read these verses. I could give you the verses and move on quick, but you know, it's good to see them. It's good to read them and all. So with that being said, Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you for the things you've given us. We thank you for this lesson. We thank you for the word. We thank you for your son that came to this earth and died and was buried and rose again for our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that being said, today you cannot be saved in this economy. Okay? You have to be saved in the dispensation of grace. Right here, with God through Paul, gives us the grace that Christ died for our sins and buried and rose again. Now, once again, you can go to www.dispensationalbiblechurch.org if you want to donate to the ministry. In fact, on the bottom of, if you're watching through Boxcast and all, there's a donate button there that you can donate for this ministry. Anything can help continue this broadcast. I hope you enjoyed this, because I'm really enjoying it. And also, you may see me off and on a little bit during the week just to say hello and how things going. I would like to hear from you if you watched it on any platform today, just how it went. you know, I've got an iPad up here, and I was going back and forth just a little bit, out, you know, during verses, sorry, and it seemed like our website's up and running. You can watch it on the website, but it looked like it was glitching a little bit, but now it looks like it's okay. But it may be a little delay, so don't let that bother you. But anyway, we love you in Christ Jesus, and if the Lord willing, we'll see you this time next week.
I'll do something else.
I believe so.